diva, hey. My mic sounds nice. Check one. This is Tavia, and you have stepped into the Diva's Den with Tavia podcast. And I am here today with my great friend, Mr. Javan Reed. Hey, Javan.
Hey!
How are you? First, I want to ask, honestly, you know, with everything that's going on, COVID-19, stay-at-home orders, all this stuff, how are you feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good right now. Just trying to take it all in and trying to stay focused as well. So I will say I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Hey, we have to make sure. Check on our strong friends, right?
Right. Please. That can change from day to day.
Sometimes hour to hour.
Right. Well, walk it.
All facts. So today we want to step right into our topic, which is reinventing yourself, the remix. So throughout, you know, life, we go through different things, you know, in life, challenges, ups, downs, and sometimes we are required to reinvent ourselves and introduce a new version of ourselves. And especially right now, in these unprecedented times we are currently living in, it's natural to kind of take inventory of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've been doing. I have not been so focused on, you know, what I need to do and the worry and the stress, it comes, but I've really taken time to take inventory of my life, mm-hmm. look back over my life, mm-hmm. and determine what I want my life to look like moving forward.
I think I needed some drums, right? Because that was a word.
That was a word.
Okay. If it was in the Baptist church, we would have went in right then.
But when I look back over my life.
And think things over. Yeah, that was a word right there. But I completely agree with you. You have to, you definitely do that prior to the record button. We were talking about boundaries. And right. I think that falls right hand in hand with taking inventory as well. And setting the expectations for your own life and taking responsibility as well as charge. So right. I'm with you 100%. Okay.
So we kind of define reinventing oneself as to change so much that it appears to be entirely new. Mm. And I know because, you know, we've been friends for so long. You've definitely reinvented yourself countless times. And I'll just tell you a little bit of, we're going to talk about your journey a little bit. So when I met you, probably like 2008-ish, maybe a little bit before that, you were the CEO and creative director of Fashion Forward Inc. So you were, fashion shows, fashion styling, production, mm-hmm. event planning, you did everything. And me coming in, being a makeup artist, it was just so remarkable to see you kind of create something out of nothing in a city that is not known for fashion.
Thank you.
So from Fashion Forward, you decided to go back to school. Mm-hmm. You obtained your BS in Business Administration, mm-hmm. from Edward Waters College.
Yes.
Then you went on to get your MBA from Nova Southeastern University.
Yes.
And currently, you are the Assistant Vice President for Distance and Online Education at Wiley College. So a vast difference from fashion and fashion shows to now back in corporate America, I guess you can kind of say. Mm-hmm. And in education, those are totally two different avenues. So what was the process of?
You know, it's quite funny. I think about that often. I have these creative itches, this creative itch a lot of times to get back to fashion and to get back to designing and make people feel good, especially because when people look good, they feel good.
Right.
And that's a transformational process from the inside out. And I love being connected to that. I love being responsible for that. I love the way it was never really about what the world saw as beauty or what the world portrayed this supposed to look like. It was all about investing into people. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with education. I get the opportunity now to reach back and pull other people up through the educational process. And so it was quite funny. I was sharing last week is that I never applied for a job.
No,
I never applied for a job. Just kind of God calls me and I go. And that's why I've walked my life. And sometimes I get very, very frustrated in education. I get very, very, very stressed, especially now with COVID-19. All students are taking classes online.
Right.
And online education has been my spear for a long time.
Right.
And now it is at the forefront. And so it is the foresight of God to basically put you in position so you will be prepared to lead when those times come. And so trusting the process and understanding that obedience is definitely greater than the sacrifice.
Facts. We need some like organs to go go off on like certain moments.
But it's not a job that I would apply for and what I want to do, but I'm good at it. I recognize that, and I also have been instrumental in transforming adult degree completion programs as well as online degree options at historically Black colleges. And so that has been a mission. Mm-hmm. And it has been a calling, and I take it wholeheartedly.
You definitely do, because I'll say this, you know, everyone knows that I'm back in school. I'm obtaining my bachelor's degree as well. But I sent a text message in our group, our friend group text. And I said, you know what, y'all, I think I want to go back to school. And I say not even an hour later, Javan was sending me all of the application, what I needed to do. One, get you some friends like that who will take your idea and really take it to the next level and encourage you. I did not have to ask. To be perfectly honest, I was not even considering. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, oh, I'll, you know, do the community college or something like that. It was always a goal and a dream to go to an HBCU. Mm-hmm. But I want to say thank you. I'm all about giving you your flowers while you're here to receive them and appreciate them. So, and I know I've told you this before, but I do want to say thank you again, because to have someone take the idea that you had and allow it to manifest, and it's just like the journey has been amazing. Honestly, it has.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that I've done so great, because somebody did it for me.
Right.
And it's just basically stepping into those shoes, stepping into, you know, the footprints that's been left behind, and then carrying the torch as well. Educational is truly, I see it as transformational. It's been a journey for me. And a lot of times I get called or placed in positions that really are they're challenges.
Right.
There's cleanup. There's a growth that need to occur. There's dilapidation in many instances. There's lack thereof.
Right.
There's no resources.
Right.
What the investment God has made in me, I just want to be a good steward over that as well. So it and I always want to be in line with what God called me to do.
So do you feel as if the work that you did with Fashion Forward, and that was your baby, you know, mm-hmm. you created that, the work that you did with Fashion Forward set you up for where you are currently?
It was a complete pivot. It requires a complete pivot. Fashion is glamorous.
Right.
People look at it and they're in awe. People want to be where you are, not knowing the work that it took. At one point, I did a fashion show with more than 47 models. Mm-hmm. People don't know what that takes.
A lot.
47 models, you know, the management of that in and of itself was a lot. The budget for that was a lot. In many instances, I've done huge projects. Did a project at the Prime Osborne where I wanted my fashion show there and walked away with $0. But in every instance, it looked like a huge success to everyone else. Taking money from my, you know, retirement and savings to make it happen. But it was a dream fulfilled. It was a dream come true. And it was this thing that says you can do anything you set your mind to.
Right. That's the entrepreneurship life that I don't think people really take into consideration and understand. It's a faith walk. Mm-hmm. You know, you do go from glory to glory. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, how did you pivot? Like, what did you just wake up one day and say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore? Or did you think that going back to school was going to be somehow help fashion forward, go to the next level? Like, what?
Going back to school was, I wanted to go back to school to earn a business degree because I was kind of hustling in circles.
Right.
I was getting money, but I was putting more out than I was bringing in, and I needed to find a way to end that cycle. But more so, it was an investment in me, what I later realized. All education was not about getting a job. It was not about sitting at the boardroom table with, you know, other executives. It was more so about sitting at the table and holding your head up high, you know, having the same credentials, speaking the same language, conjugating the same verbs. That was what education was about for me. But it was more so unlocking opportunities that allows you to, you know, move to the next step in your next step in my life. So business is what I chose because I needed to run a more sufficient and effective operation. My operation grew so big, fast.
It did.
It's multi-layers. We was doing modeling training. At one point, I needed an entire warehouse for about staging, sound equipment. I mean, I went in understanding that you have to make an investment within yourself and within the business. And I did that very fast, very early.
Definitely. And when you look back over it, does it seem as if that was a totally different lifetime?
It's hard to explain to people. I try to explain to my coworkers sometimes, like, you know, oh, that's what, you know, I've done that, or I've done that. And it seems sometimes like you're bragging. And so I pull back because I'm always trying to be the person in the room, you know, that's not like the know-it-all.
Right.
Because nobody likes that.
But sometimes it is what it is. Yeah. Like, it's as if you are sliding your resume across the table.
Yeah.
And on your resume, it's going to highlight all of the things that you've, you know, done. I know for me, a lot of people only know me as Fabulous Faces, but I had a whole nother life before that.
Right.
And I was in corporate America and I was climbing the corporate ladder and it was great.
Right.
And, you know, I was in the mortgage industry. And so when people put you in a box, sometimes it becomes very challenging because I agree, you don't want to seem as if you're bragging, but for me, it's like, I'm not just a stupid, pretty girl who knows how to put on makeup. Like, no, because even with that, there's an entire business. Like, you have to be intelligent to create an entire business and a business model and marketing and brand. It's so much that goes into it. So I completely understand what you're saying, but I do think it's important for us to always keep in the back of our minds. And, you know, when we need to slide that resume across the table, slide that resume across the table. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm not new to this. I know you just know me at this level.
Right.
But I'm not new to this.
Yeah.
And I know even for me, reinvention has been very important. And sometimes, you know, we reinvent ourselves intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So we come into a crossroads in our life and we're like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we come into a situation where we're kind of forced to grow and reinvent ourselves. Have you had a situation like that personally that has kind of made you pivot and do something that you would not have seen yourself doing or being?
Education is definitely that. I had a clientele list that allowed me to travel to the Grammys. I went to the Billboard Music Awards. I was doing a number of things, but I was also somebody's administrative assistant at a black college.
Right. Multiple hustles.
They're like, oh, I can't come in today because I'm at the Grammys. It's terrible, right? People are like, who are you? So that was difficult. Facts, though, it was really facts. Like, I really legit had a really A-list, not necessarily A-list, but I did have a pretty high clientele. And it was fulfilling in many instances. But I think being forced to change was getting into education and realizing I can really affect change.
Okay, so at one point being an administrative assistant to someone in an HBCU, but then also, you know, still having your clientele, mm-hmm. and because you were styling, I know, people from the have and have nots, yes. Like you were really, so what made you, because at one point, I guess you can say you had one foot in one world, another foot in another world. Right. What was that?
Going to people's job with $5,000 shoes on, hand beaded from Donald Plain. It was ridiculous. I needed to get my life together.
But so what was that true thing that made you say, you know what? I don't want this life, mm-hmm. that life anymore. I now want this life.
Yeah, I think a purpose-driven life makes the difference too as well. Okay. And sometimes we try to pretend like we got it all under control, mm-hmm. and that we are responsible for the future. But if we're honest, like that's out of our control.
Right.
Yeah, it's out of our control.
That's very true. Purpose is very important. So would you say that the first part of your life, you were living maybe your life and mm-hmm. your plan and not God's plan for your life?
I don't know. I'm still confused about that because I literally see designs in my head. I can literally put on a fashion show tomorrow and I can give you the detail layout. I can call the people and I can put things in place. But the focus, and I think that's really what it is really focusing on bigger picture, what's next, not getting distracted. So I still would love to return to fashion one day. I really
so
do.
You would re-enter the fashion world, like you yeah. could see yourself doing that.
And I started out fashion production, and mm-hmm. I was putting on huge productions and you know, selling $500 and $600 tickets to shows and that sort of thing. But that wasn't what it was about. People right. wanted the clothes to leave the runway into their closet.
Right.
And I had not mastered that skill. So I started answering to what people called me. Mm. I started out as a creative director. That's all I wanted to do. Some of my early inspirations is like Tom Ford. He was right. a creative director for Gucci.
Right.
And I watched that company in my early stages in fashion. I watched that company transform. Mm-hmm. From bankruptcy, infighting, and all of those things. I watched what Tom Ford did with that company and what it is today and the brand recognition. And I followed those, and I really wanted to follow in those same footsteps, but I was growing too fast, too big, too fast, and not putting, you know, those things that you need to know in place. So being forced to change is serious. But the lessons you take away from it are key.
That is,
yeah.
No, because, you know, I believe it's never really about losses. And even in failure, you're there's always going to be a lesson. Facts. So what is something that, like a time where you failed? Mm-hmm. And what was the lesson?
I failed at many of those fashion shows that a lot of people call success. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my vision. It wasn't what I set out to achieve. It kind of morphed into that. Mm-hmm. So I failed several times. And every time I tried to reapproach with a different strategy, with a different mindset, with a different, you know, tone. Because I can recall sometimes when models didn't do what was in my head.
A lot of the time. And I can say that because I did makeup for a lot of those shows, and it was very interesting.
Interesting. You know, you have this idea for a 25-inch ponytail, and they come, and you can't push it back. It's just a lot, you know.
Facts. Definitely. But what I can say is during that time, you think about Jacksonville again, we are not the fashion capital. We are not, I mean, outside looking in, if you say, oh, I'm a fashion stylist and I'm from Jacksonville and I do it in Jacksonville, people are going to really look at you like you're crazy. I get but that. Life was
lives that were being transformed.
It really was.
I was really close to my clientele list. Like we, as they grew, I grew.
Right.
Where places that I never thought I would be, I found myself is because they made that same level investment in me.
It's so important to have, to be able to identify those people that God sent you to invest in you. Because I think people such as us, we are natural givers. And sometimes we do not take the opportunity to receive, and we can miss out on a lot of blessings and miss out on a lot of the lessons and the things that God is kind of sending to us because we're not in a position to receive because we want to always give. It's natural. I think that's, I can say for myself, that's been my life. You know, you things happen, you know, for me, I think one of the pivotal moments in my life when I had to kind of reinvent myself was when my mom got sick. And in my mind, you know, my life was going to be popping. Like, listen, I already had that thing mapped out and I was still very young. I was like 21, 22. And, but I had to pivot and I didn't have time to complain about it. I didn't have time to really figure it out. I really had to pivot and, you know, step up and step into that leadership role.
Yes.
And I can say that a lot of those, that is kind of what set the tone for the woman that I am today. Why it's kind of natural for me to pivot and, you know, understand that you're not always in control. Again, you go from glory to glory. Sometimes the two part, it might be the pit. You might be in there for a little bit long, but you're going to get to that next phase of glory. And what I kind of realized for myself, as well as the importance, and I think you know, you just spoke on that, of doing things that you want to do.
Absolutely.
Like for you.
Absolutely.
Boundaries. We spoke about, you know, spoke about that a little bit earlier, you know, setting those boundaries, but making sure that you're being true to you and your purpose in life. So do you feel like right now, can you say that you're really living your best life?
I have so much growing to do. I do recognize, I think it was a hard thing to admit that my life has changed. My life has definitely changed. Trauma does that too.
Right. Trauma definitely. That's one of those
trauma
things
will
that
cause you to shift.
Yeah, and it's one of those things your that you have
being.
No control over.
Your whole being.
You know, like for you, you lost your mom a couple of years ago. And that shifted you because you and your mom were so close. When, listen, y'all, when I tell y'all the biggest supporter,
absolutely.
Like ride or die, well, I'm talking about, oh, you need some tickets sold? She right there. She, hey, my son is
the
having
talent
this.
The talent that we have at those fashion shows, my mom introduced me to many of the talents that we had. My mom also introduced me to most of those models.
Yes.
A lot of them we still stay in connection today, but that gift of connecting people, I asked God for that the day that I had to let her go. I really did. I really did. And I said, because my mom spent, you know, 3 days on life support. Right. And it was my, you know, as the oldest, my decision to remove her from that. And it was a bargain. And my relationship with God changed. I needed something deeper. I needed something truer. I couldn't go off nothing superficial. It just wasn't going to work for me. And I bled, I pleaded, and we had to really, really this boxing match, you know, like that occurred. That, and I oftentimes think about it and I'm like, well, okay, if you do this, do that, you want to rationalize with God too as well. But that day changed my life completely, and it set me on a new sail, only because you feel as if the wind has been taken out of your sail. You feel the lowest. I don't care who have an opinion at that point. And getting to a place in life when you realize you don't care what people have to say and what people think. Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
That is a beautiful feeling. Listen, when you I think I talked about it on the last episode. Listen, when you, and it's
like, I'm done living for you.
It's a dangerous feeling if it's not handled the right way. But it's a beautiful thing to be like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
What you say.
I have to package it right, because I'll walk into a boardroom now and I walk in, but I feel like I got 10,000 ancestors behind me and I'll take over. So I have to package it correctly. I have to also be careful, like, hey, listen, you don't know the investment God had made in me. And people can't take that, you know? You have to come in a little bit easier. But after burying my mother, there was nothing you could put in front of me that I could not accomplish.
So having to pivot and change with that, what was your process? Because, you know, everyone handles grief differently. And to be perfectly honest, you're going to be grieving forever. It's not going to be a time where you're not, you know. What were some of the things that you did that helped you along the way?
Shut up. Mm-hmm. I stopped talking a lot. I learn to listen to what people were saying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's dangerous too as well, because people don't necessarily mean what they say.
Listen,
there needs to be, side note, there needs to be some type of handbook that people can publish when people die of things that you should not say, you know, because it ultimately creates a wedge. And recognizing that my mother and I had a great relationship. It wasn't something passive. We were in this together. We came up from absolutely nothing. We grind together. And it was like at this moment where it was like, mama, my mom died on a Thursday. We were closing on her house that I was paying for on Saturday. Mm. Letting that go, that we were going to our next level. We'd also been in a situation to where, you know, we had no running water. We had no lights. We'd been in situations, and we took on those life challenges and situations and poverty together. And it was just like at this pivotal point in life to where it's like, mama, we made it.
Right.
She's gone.
Right.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
It was so difficult to comprehend.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't know that pain, but just seeing you maneuver, I can say that you handled it with so much grace and strength. And you had your moments where you let go. And I was proud of you for that, because you are the oldest, and because, you know, it's something about when you're breaking the generational curses in your family, how it's sometimes it can set you apart from people in your family.
It does.
But
in and of itself is painful too.
Breaking generational curses?
Just separating from
your family? People,
yeah.
That is is definitely growing pains. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult, even as you go from level to level, and knowing how to, because some people you will have to cut off from them completely. Mm-hmm. Some people, because in your friendship groups, in your family, you're not always going to grow on the same level.
Absolutely.
So it's even important to know when sometimes you just have to go, continue to grow, and your friend will catch up.
Absolutely.
You know, but having to deal with that, like I said, you handled it with so much grace.
Thank
and
you,
class that. And strength and like
it was difficult, and my family is still trying to heal from that.
Again, that's something that is going to be a constant.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be a constant thing. Like my grandfather's birthday was yesterday, and he's been gone for 15 years now, and my mom is still, you know, 15 years later, she's still healing from that and still grieving and still having her moments, and even myself, because we were so close. So that is, you know, and I wish people were more sensitive sometimes, understanding.
But here's the other situation too as well, and I learned to stop. Like I'm speaking from where I am right now, is that the world moves on. That's your mama.
That's true.
That's hard to hear, you know?
It is.
That's definitely difficult, and you want them to commemorate, and you want them to feel empathy when you are sad. But the truth of the matter is that it didn't mean the same to anybody else. But you also have to recognize too as well is that you can give that and you can be the change you want to see in the world.
So, that is so important.
Yeah.
So many people are quick to, you know, complain, you know, especially we think about the current political climate that we're in right now, the current racial climate that we're in right now. Everyone wants to complain or, you know, you have all of these great ideas, but you're not even living the life that you want somebody else to live.
Absolutely.
So it's important, like you said, to change, again, reinvent yourself, grow, evolve. How does your spirituality help you through each level of your life?
Huge. Spirituality is a great word.
You noticed I said spirituality.
I'm so glad about that because I just learned to make that transition.
And you know what I think it is? And I talk to my mom about it often. Like her generation, they were raised on religion.
Yes.
You know, those certain religious doctrines. You got to dress a certain way. You have to do this. Those man-made laws, religion. I believe our generation is really understanding spirituality.
Yes.
And a true relationship with God. You know, not needing that middle person, i.e. the pastor, and it's not, you know, I get great words.
Right.
You know, listen to a great sermon.
Right.
But to have the importance of having your own relationship. That's why I said spirituality and not religion.
I absolutely appreciate that only because my relationship with God changed when my mom died. Mm. It did. I spent days begging and making plea bargains and like, let her wake up, you know, help us through this. And so my relationship changed, recognizing that I can't use anything superficial. I just can't. No. It takes some intention to wake up happy and whole and ready to do what you have been called to do, recognizing the hurt, the pain, the trauma, you know, putting it in perspective and learning from it, recognizing, because this is another situation, like being a boss, like you're a boss, you've started businesses, you've managed a multiple project. So you're a boss. But when you have that opportunity to be a boss, and then there's some things happening in your life that you can't control.
Listen, that last episode was all about relinquishing the control, and that has still been a journey. Even right now, you know, right now I am not working.
Yeah.
So you don't worry, you ain't got no income coming in. So learning to, but I had already had, like most of us, had my 2020 lined up, you know, mapped out that great old plan. I was ready. And then,
if I be honest, I saw that differently for you. You had started to make an investment within yourself, which is completely different.
Yeah.
You could put on a face for a lot of people, but when you begin to live your life for you, it's difficult, and people are not going to like you for that. And especially when they can't control you. They can't control what you say, where you are, what you do, who you with. That is difficult. And it takes some time to you recognize that this is not about me. This is on you. But this is what, these are the terms that I'm going to live my life. And you have to be okay with that.
That's a great transition. Yeah. And it's difficult. I mean, I've seen friendships and, you know, relationships have to kind of.
Yeah.
I have to leave them in the dust because
it's been the most painful part for me too. Mm-hmm. It really has. And it's been learning, you know, how to package those relationships and how to put them in perspective. What about primary, secondary, and tertiary relationships? You know, those things are important to you to set the boundaries so you can grow and be the person you're called to be.
And not stay so much in the past.
Right.
You know, not sit there. This week, a scripture kind of weighed so heavy on me because, again, you know, you have these plans, right? And it's like, my life is going to be one way. And God is like, wait, hold on. That's your plan. That's not my plan.
Hey, right, ain't got nothing to do with me.
I ain't tell you to do that.
And no, about to tell you to do that.
Right. So, you know, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I just set a goal mm-hmm. for this year to relinquish all of my control and really get in alignment with what God wants for me, mm-hmm. the life that God wants for me. And it's okay to not know.
Mm-hmm. We're going through this family situation, right, with one of our family members. And I was talking to my aunt, who's very spiritual, very religious. She's grounded in the word. And so, she said something to, and it like knocked me two steps backwards because I spoke with so much authority, mm-hmm. so much leadership, so much resolve in my voice. And she was like, and we're going to do all this without the Father? And I was quiet because I put God nowhere in it. But she had to, I had to course correct. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually said, okay, God, what you have for us, that's for us.
Right.
And what you have for me, that's for me.
And being intentional, mm-hmm. you know, and this week for me, too, was a lot of sitting down and allowing myself to listen and mm-hmm. not to, like, listen, God already knows what I want.
That's hard, though.
That is so difficult. I'm like, okay, I'm YouTubing how to meditate yeah. because naturally my brain is going.
I had to do that too, Tavia. I had to create. I took a second bedroom in my apartment and I created a meditation room because it was the only way I can get through some days.
Okay, so how? What was your first step in meditation?
First step in meditation to try and keep going back at it. Many days I fail.
Okay.
Many days that I really did fail. But meditation was getting to a point because you cannot meditate if you taking on the problem. Mm. You just can't do it. But you have to relinquish control. And much as we like to say we have, but we still feel like we got a ram in the bush over here. Or I can move this from my checking to my savings.
Listen.
From a savings to my checking.
Listen, I came across
move this car note to the back of the loan. Okay.
Fact. I came across this a couple of weeks ago, and it says, you know, when God is doing a new thing, you will reach a moment where you say, I don't know what to do next. This yeah. is all new to me, which yeah. is okay. But you have options. So you can either listen to God's voice and boldly enter into the unknown, or you can do what many have done in the past. They killed a move of God because instead of trusting the voice of the Holy Spirit, they reached back to a strategy mm-hmm. that brought them success in a previous era. Mm. And that kind of came up this week because I am trying to figure out how to, if I even want to, re-enter mm-hmm. the makeup arena in the mm-hmm. way that I've been doing it, which mm-hmm. naturally, no, because we're in this... They say the new normal, but mm-hmm. to be honest, it's nothing that's going to be like it used to be mm-hmm. BC before Corona. So-
yes, before Corona.
So for me, I'm like, you know, trying to figure it out and map it out. And because that's me mm-hmm. playing it out and all that stuff. And, you know, God was just like, no, like. No, mm-hmm. I didn't tip. Like, I haven't given you the plan mm-hmm. yet. And it's mm-hmm. okay to just be. It's okay to not
one know. Day I was having these, one of these, what I call Javan days, where I just shut the world out and I do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I went over to the Riverside and they had this spot. I forget the name. It was like Sun something, where you go in, you buy beads and
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Native Sun or something. Yeah, I forget okay. the name of the mm-hmm. of company or what have you. But I found a greeting card in there that at one day and it said delicious ambiguity. And I was so intrigued by the word ambiguity. Mm-hmm. I looked it up and I didn't know, you know, looked up the word in isolation from delicious.
Right.
Get something totally different. It seems like an oxymoron.
Right.
But in a sense, it is trusting the unknown mm-hmm. and being okay with it mm-hmm. and trusting who God is. Mm-hmm. That puts things in perspective because sometimes we box what God can do.
Listen.
Based off our own abilities.
Like, listen, I got all of this over here.
Right here.
All of this.
You right here.
All of this.
You just trying to do makeup.
You just want this little box.
I'm trying to own a corporation. You trying to do makeup.
Right. Like, well... Come on now. Which brings me to Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing.
Yeah, that's it.
And
a brand new thing is what it says.
Right. And
Brand new.
Listen, but we still be like, okay, well, you know, how can I incorporate this makeup thing into this brand new thing? That's not what God told you to do. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Again, that's reinventing yourself. And sometimes in that space before you get to, you know, people think that, oh, I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and everything is going to be different. Mm-hmm. And that's not. Mm-mm. That's not true. Mm-mm. It's character building and every lesson that you learn in order that you need for that next level. And it's okay, again, to be in that space of waiting to hear from God and not feeling as if you need to, again, put your look, what you're used to doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I know if I go over here, I just put that I'm doing makeup. I know I can get six people easy. God didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but more so just widening your scope and stretching out your hand so you can reach more people. Back to the question you asked me in the first part of this about fashion and education. I think there's an amalgamation in the sense where the two kind of collide. It's still about investing in people.
Right. Mm-hmm. I can agree. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And you have to learn how to do that.
Invest in people?
You have to learn how to lead people too.
Facts. And in order to,
when you can lead people, you can do anything.
Right. And in order to invest in people, you have to allow yourself to be invested in.
That's absolutely true.
Like, it's so important. That's absolutely true. I feel like we have seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I have seasons where I'm constantly giving and I'm investing. But then you also have to allow yourself to have that season where you shut up and you're allowing yourself, you know, to be deposited into.
A friend of mine told me a long time ago about the student teacher relationship. One of my greatest influences helped me get back to going to college, understanding that it wasn't necessarily tied to a work to the workforce, helping me understand it and unpack the value of an education. I give him credit to this day, Rockman Johnson. Give him credit to this day for helping me, sort that pathway in my life. Is because you really have to be intentional about that. You have to be intentional about what you want and where you want to go.
Right. And again, I think this is the perfect time. It's been like this meme going around on our different people been posting stuff on social media, like, oh, during this quarantine time, if you haven't started a business, created an LLC, like, you can't tell people because you just started working in this downtime, but people been working. Like, we've been working. So,
and stop taking up usernames for other people who get ready to do this, who plan. Not your username. On sunbees.org. Right. Similar to mine, and I can't get it.
And you really,
you had no intentions on being successful.
None. And it's okay to just be. You know, like I said, I was productive in my time of, you know, chilling and spending time with my daughter and you know, letting go of what had, again, BC before Corona, you know, letting go. And then taking the opportunity to kind of sit and figure out what I want my life to look like.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, making sure that it is in alignment to what God has for me. And then writing it out, write the vision, make it plain, write it out. Now, it's not up to me to figure out the how. And I think that has been very, I've been mindful of that my entire career leading up to now. I've never knew how I got the opportunities and, you know, the clients and think, I don't know how that happened. I mean, I know how it's God, but I just was clear in what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then started working towards that and everything happened and it was better than what I imagined. And that's kind of how I feel with going back and getting my degree. It has really opened my mind to what I truly can do, what is possible, the discipline and the focus, and
that's been, exactly what it's about.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if I can do, I can do that, I can truly do. It don't matter if I'm pushing 40.
I can do anything I set my mind to. And that's really what it's about. And it's really about giving yourself an opportunity to learn. That's the conversation I was saying about student and teacher. They're going to come a time, every point in life, where you have to be a student. I don't care who you are. And in the moment that you are always teaching, then you probably should surround yourself with other people. Listen. Because you can't grow. You can't stretch yourself to a new level. You'll just stay where you are if you're always the teacher.
That is so weird to me when you think about friend circles or whatever, and it's like, they're all on the same level. Mm-hmm. So how are you growing? How are you elevating if you do not have people around you who are on the level in which you aspire to? When I look at my friend circle, you know, I have people that may not be where I am, so mm-hmm. I'm able to give back to them. Mm-hmm. But then I have people who are on a level that is, in my head, mm-hmm. way off, but because now I'm friends with them, it's attainable, mm-hmm. you know, and I can learn from them and grow from them. And it's still reciprocal because we still learn from one another. But I think that's so important.
Yeah, we all struggle with the same stuff, regardless of where we are in life.
That's true.
I think it's very important to understand that me masking my insecurities is not about where I am. That's at any level, CFO, CEO, wherever you are in the organization, you're going to do that. You don't want to expose what you don't know.
But why is that though?
That's hard because it's admitting you don't know.
That's the vulnerability.
Vulnerability is very difficult. It's very, 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 very difficult.
I feel like it's very difficult in our community as well. In the Black community, it's like sometimes
for men, people don't accept it. They just don't. A woman just don't accept vulnerability from a man. They don't want that from us.
But I don't understand. I guess I'll say this because I'm like super, you know, I have my emotional times. And for me, I don't.
Are you only allowed to be emotional? Like if it's a relationship type situation?
No. And that's the thing. I would want in a relationship, my significant other to trust me enough mm-hmm. to share all aspects of them, to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But I do also understand that you have to.
But we don't want to be vulnerable and you use it against
us. That's what I was about to say. A place that they can trust.
Right. Safe places.
Yeah.
We try to build that with students too as well. Conversation we most recently had was the state of the Black male. And some of the things that they were talking about is suicide in African-American males. It grew like 120-some%.
Right.
Some ridiculous thing. And that's only because of I think about, you know, what the expectations, what people want from us mm-hmm. As a Black man or just as a man, period, right. You know, not necessarily tying race into it, but just what you want in terms of a provider or a head of your household or a partner or, you know, a significant other. Like, do you want someone who can take your insecurities and hold them tightly in their arms? And do you want that? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I think that's extremely important to recognize and to understand what we accept in our lives too as well.
Interesting. We should go deeper at some Let's point go. Because that's like that. But I mean, because that's,
do you want vulnerability from a man?
And I think that's the other thing. People need to be honest with what they really want.
They don't want that. They don't want a man all crying and sober and sad and, baby, I didn't like it when you did this. They don't care. They know half the time they will know they're wrong, but they are counting on you to suck that up and keep on going.
That's true. But I think a lot of that happens when you're younger, right? The parent-child, mm-hmm. especially male-child relationship. Mm-hmm. Because as a girl, you know, oh, it's okay to cry, whatever. But for a boy, it's always suck those tears up. You can't cry. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can't be vulnerable mm-hmm. when you're younger. So naturally, some people, they are able to get out of that. But mm-hmm. for some men, it's just that's natural for them.
Yeah, like I think everyone would agree that they want gender roles in a relationship.
Yes.
You want some, like, my tire's flat. Like, are you going to do anything about it? You less than a man if you don't. but we want equal.
Culturally.
You know, you want those gender roles, but at the same time, you want equality in terms of emotions. And sometimes it's difficult.
It is. And, you know, speaking of like equality, I have such a problem. And I hope, I guess my female card doesn't get revoked, but I have such a problem with women and this feminist movement in the fact of I want to be so equal to a man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be equal to a man.
Really?
Meaning, like, mm-hmm. you have your
gender. And I think that's honest. That's good because I've had that conversation often, and then it's good to recognize.
Yeah, like, I don't want to.
But men want a partner.
A partner. Mm-hmm. They want a partner too.
Like, I don't want to marry your 510 credit score. Facts. And I don't work real hard on the 700.
I have a problem with women who say that they want a man that six figures, look this way, 800 credit score, a savings. They have to be a business owner. I have a problem with that when sis, your credit score is 450.
Right.
Like, you have to go to a buy here, pay here lot to get a car. You haven't taken care of your health. It's like, how are you demanding something that you're not willing to do yourself?
Well, they recognize the need for that man in that situation too, as well, or need for a partnership. Now, I don't want to limit it to men and women because I do value. I don't think it's necessary to have gender roles.
Of course.
If you have a partner, I do feel like y'all should be strong for one another, you know, and regardless of what that looks like. And so you asking for something that you're not willing to do doesn't work in any relationship.
In any, be it actual intimate relationship, a business partnership, it does not.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, or at least trying to learn how to do something. Now, yes, if I'm in a relationship with a man, my tire is flat, sir. But if you're not available, I'm not going to degrade you because you're not available to change my tire. I'm going to call AAA. I'm going to figure it out myself.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, but I don't want it to be where you feel as if, I hate that whole, I don't need a man. When women say, I don't need a man, you know.
We all need people.
We need people.
We need people regardless of how we see it, how we look at it. You need people to tell you the truth. You need people to be honest with you, especially those that you are intimate with. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have intimacy without truth.
Well, that's not intimacy then. Because how can you have intimacy, true, real intimacy with someone and there's no truth between the two of you?
People avoid it all the time.
I don't think that's intimacy then.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, I think it's a true definition of understanding what you want.
Right.
It's definitely about putting out there what you want and being unapologetic about it. So you can, women who want an 800 credit score, you want this six-figure salary, be unapologetic about what you want, but at the same time, be willing to come to the table with the same work ethic.
Work ethic. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't have it.
They don't.
Mm-mm.
You want to be taken care of. You want somebody to reaffirm you. You never taken the opportunity to learn my love language.
Listen. And then why is it that you want someone to constantly take care of you, but you're not willing to take care of the other person? It has to be reciprocal. Again, a partnership, you know, is important.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some quick fire fun questions. I have some quick fire fun questions for you, right? Because we've been super deep and we have these deep.
Yeah, I love it.
We be having these deep conversations.
Thank you for inviting me to the deepest den.
We'll be in the club in VIP and be having deep conversations.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I love conversation. I value it so much. And I try so hard not to package it in a way to where it's like, I'm not talking too much. I'm not talking, being the one to talk in the room. I teach management principles now.
Yes.
And I teach an intro to a college education course or what have you. So sometimes I go in straight professor mode. And other times I do project, I foresee myself in the very near future being somebody's provost. And so sometimes I can't lead an organization if I don't teach.
Right.
And so I that's how I see myself, but I'm careful as well not to, you know, I try, I should say that, but sometimes I do talk a lot. So,
well, I mean, I know I can too.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's a great thing.
Thank you for the demons,
Dan. Listen, I'm excited.
We can talk with purpose.
With purpose.
Yeah.
I'm excited. But yeah, I got some little quick fire questions.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's something that you're not good at?
I am not good at criticism.
Mm.
I recognize that. Mm.
You're not good at accepting criticism?
I don't know. I welcome criticism. I don't want to portray that like you can't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. But I want to grow at this stage in my life.
Right.
And so I want someone to tell me how to do things a little bit differently to get to my next level. So I don't want to be afraid of criticism. I guess that's what I should say.
But you know what I think is always about? Mm-hmm. How someone packages it.
Okay.
You know, like I tell my daughter all
the time. Yeah, you can't
come
at me any kind of way.
Right. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
You can't do it. Like you just cannot do it.
We're not doing that. But also having enough, not taking things so personally, especially in a professional setting. And I know when you're passionate about something, sometimes it can be very difficult, but that's something I've been learning. Sometimes it's just not personal, meaning a personal attack on you. Sometimes it is what it is. 1 + 1 = 2
Have you read the Four Agreements?
I have.
So I can't get past the second one. Don't take nothing personal. It's so hard for me. It's so difficult for me.
It is.
It's easy to say, but you take things personal, especially you and I are artists.
Listen,
I'm an artist and I'm sensitive by my shit.
Right.
Oh, can we cuss on the Divas Den?
We can. It's okay. But yeah. But that has been something that I've had to overcome as well. I think something that I'm not good at is taking compliments.
Okay.
I had to identify that. So it's like, oh, you're pretty. Oh, thank you. But
such you probably and such did so right much and grew numb. You probably grew numb to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, just overall, just compliment and not necessarily about like my looks, but just I noticed that instead of graciously saying thank you, like it can be thank you, period.
I got you.
It does not necessarily have to be thank you, but it may be say something negative to kind of, you know, humble my, make sure that I'm humbled, you know, but it can truly be thank you, period. You're such and such. You're a great mom. Thank you, period.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's something that I've been working on. Like, it's okay.
Gratitude is important. We have to learn that. I just learned that too as well. That helps me through my grieving process too as well is some days I have to make a list of what I'm thankful for.
That's an assignment that me and Zaniya have been taking on. Like, we put it in our calendar every night before we go to bed. We just have to write 5 things that we are thankful for that happened throughout the day.
Now, sometimes I learned that in therapy.
Look, sometimes it's easy because you had a great day and it's like, boom, God bless, this happened. My stimulus check came.
Right.
Extra 5 on there, you know. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm just thankful that I opened my eyes this morning. And that's
absolutely
okay. You
absolutely
know, because when I go back, whenever I'm in a difficult time and I go back and read those 5 things, it's like, look, if you were able to get through that, you can get through anything.
It just repositions you too as well. And then it invites, like, what you know, it invites the Holy Spirit. It invites God in to where you can rest here. I'm grateful. I know things could have went differently. I feel like things could have went differently. I have my reservations. I have my fears. I have my insecurities. But I'm grateful for this.
And that's important. You know, when asking what is something you're not good at, I think, you know, that it's okay to say, because we're not perfect.
I recognized that early today. Thank you for asking me that question. But I recognize I hate being called to the carpet. I hate it.
Now, do you call people to the carpet often?
I do.
Oh, okay, friend. You can't call these people to the carpet and you ain't willing to step your pinky toe on now.
You're right.
To be able to identify that is the first step in overcoming that.
Yeah, thank you for
that. And I think that's important.
Thank you for that.
Instead of looking at it in a negative way, you can identify that. And that shows a lot of growth and a lot of strength within yourself to say, this is something that I'm not good at. So now that I've identified it, you have now positioned yourself to overcome that in some way. And it'll be something else. I mean, that's life. We're not perfect. Okay.
Other things I'm not good at. I can't cut a straight line, which is very difficult.
What you mean?
Like, I can't cut. Like in a straight line.
Fabric?
It's so difficult. It's so hard.
That's interesting.
So a lot of dresses that wasn't supposed to be
asymmetrical work.
It turned out to be that way.
You know, pivoting. Maybe that's how I really was supposed to be.
Can't sew on a half inch seam to save my life. Like, it's really difficult.
Okay. If you could have dinner with any 3 people, dead or alive, who would they be and why?
Oh. I want to talk to Martin Luther King.
Okay. Why would you want to talk to Martin?
I feel like sometimes it's, you know, I want to dig deeper in his thought process and what he said. I had an opportunity to see this thing called The Meeting that we did at Wiley College, where they staged this conversation between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Mm. It was so impactful. The students put it on. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. But at the same time, some of the same questions, some of the same quotes, and some of the things, some of the same transcripts in his that's been, you know, placed in history. I want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think it was so culturally relevant to today and just relevant, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that we can really find an exodus is essentially as a people or as a nation, as just some of the other things that Martin Luther King had to say. So definitely want to talk to Martin Luther King. I also would like to talk to Michelle Obama.
Okay. Have you seen Becoming, the documentary on Netflix?
Let me tell you how I just have to like create this space to do stuff. It's so difficult.
No, it's okay.
I'm writing a foreword to a manual to the U.S. Department of Education in 2015, I believe it was, on the Obama administration, reenacted this thing where students who are incarcerated have an opportunity to earn their degree.
Right.
So I've been the executive director, in addition to my other responsibilities at Wiley, to help students basically earn their degree while they're incarcerated. And so I'm saying that to say is I have to write this foreword for this manual about this, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been like so careful to create this space, this opportunity to think and do all that. So I did the same thing with Becoming because I'm so ready.
It's so good.
I just need to set up the mood.
I read the book. And
is that extra? Is it real extra?
No, it's not.
You need like some fresh flowers?
No, because I had to watch it by myself. Like at first I was like, oh, I'm going to get Zaniah to watch it. I was like, I need this moment to myself.
Yeah. I read Becoming.
Yeah, but the documentary, it's really good. Like you cry, you laugh.
She is a different type. Superhumans.
Yeah.
Superhumans. And so she comes across as a superhuman to me too, as well as just like that being in that place of leadership, mm-hmm. that place of resolve, that place of I'm not perfect. This is who I am.
That's what I appreciated about the documentary and her vulnerability and how she really was to a degree silenced during that administration. And it was just great to see her.
But you could just feel her impact.
Look, that's somebody that you feel it. You feel her energy before she even enters the room. So that make sure you watch that. It's really, really good.
I'm excited about
it. It's really good. And who's your third person?
Ooh. Have a conversation with my mama.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
That's like self-explanatory though. To be honest.
It's difficult. You wanna accept the metamorphosis. You want to accept the transition that, you know, you'll always be here. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be, but a conversation would be, some days I'll pull out every old phone in the world just to hear a voicemail. It's so difficult. Mm. It's so difficult. But again, that was my friend.
Yeah, y'all were y'all were so
way old. Past mother son relationship. That was like a cheerleader. Like she would make you feel like you could do anything. Yes, in the world.
And how she welcomed your friends or anyone that you associated with. Like she just welcomed them in. It's so crazy because I was looking like on Facebook the memories or whatever the other day, and something popped up where she had commented on like. Posted on my page and it was just like, you know, like she's not here, but her impact, like her legacy will continue to go on through you.
Yeah, we had conversations about you before. She's just so proud of women who just take life in their own hands. Mm-hmm. Like that was her thing.
Yeah.
She loved it by any means necessary. You can be whatever you are. Like if you did life on your own terms, she was in love with you.
Mm-hmm. Because she did listen, unapologetic.
Yeah.
Sis was about that life.
Like,
and her energy, and it didn't matter her age. She just seems so younger than us. Like, we can hang, and I don't know. She was great. Mm-hmm. So now you love music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love music. Mm-hmm. So my last little quick fire question. If you had to pick one artist that you can only listen to their music for 1 year. That's mm-hmm. it. No one else. Who would you pick?
PJ Moore.
Okay. Why?
He grows.
Yeah.
He grows with music. Mm-hmm. He's an artist. Mm-hmm. He's true to himself. And that evolution speaks to me.
Okay. All right. Tell us some really quickly about your position at Wiley College for those who are interested mm-hmm. in, you know, getting their degree, how they can find you.
Yeah, so I'm all about this thing where a lot of people attempted college and for whatever reason didn't finish. Mm-hmm. And so I have spent about 8 or 9 years as a practitioner in higher education, understanding the ropes, the ways, and understanding how to remove barriers right. for non-traditional or those students that are in the margin, so to speak. I would like to champion that, you know, hope to work with students to champion that process, to understand that this is possible. You don't have to carry the debt without the degree.
Right.
And so that's been my space. And making making education flexible as well as affordable. And so joining with Wiley College has been a true blessing. It's a historical black college in Marshall, Texas.
Right.
And we have a 100% online degree option. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of my reasons for joining that organization. The other is I'm following the footsteps of a giant. Dr. Herman Felton right. is the president, and I learned a lot from him.
And he's from
Duval County.
He's from Duval, right?
A graduate of Edward Waters College, right. You know, right on King's Road. So I'm blessed to be in a position. I am learning. I'm growing, and I just want to pull other folks along with me as well, so they can be intentional about living their absolute best life and unapologetically.
Listen, that's so important.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to segue to our Never Not Working segment. And, you know, this is an opportunity for me to, again, give flowers, you know, while the people are here, and also celebrate and highlight someone who is out there never not working. Because, yeah. you know, we've been about this never not working life for...
Listen.
Forever.
I'm going to pay the rent at the end of the month.
Listen,
you can count on me.
Look, when we used to work all day, like mm-hmm. 4, 5, 6 clients, and then go out to the club and stay out to like 4 o'clock in the morning, and then have another client at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yep. Yeah, we've been about this never not working life. But so I actually want to highlight my friend. He's actually, you know, like, he helps me produce this show, right?
Oh, yeah?
Yep, he does. So,
what's his name?
His name is Mr. Alpe.
Yes! Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Alpe. He's an MC, DJ, and an entertainment entrepreneur. Yeah. Like, he's a curator of a vibe.
Can we just take one moment to recognize that the impact of that has been, I walk with Alpe at, he served as a DJ at most of those fashion shows yep. we talked about earlier too as well. So the transition in where we are in life is very impactful. So,
it is. And it's yeah. dope to really see. I'm all about the growth of people, right? Mm-hmm. So to see someone and see how they've actually grown and evolved and again reinvented themselves. So Mr. Alpe is a social media brand manager, freelance writer, podcast host, podcast producer, music producer, online radio mix show, Cubicle Music Mondays, and The Groove Suite. He has Mr. Peterson's Neighborhood Management events, Fly Socks and Tees, his annual event, which is actually really, really dope. Like, I've been a couple times. And
how many times have you been?
I've been a couple times.
Okay.
And it's dope. Like, you know, back in the day when you really used to like dance and you didn't really care, you know. Yeah, it's like dope. So anyways, that's a good, great event. Unfortunately, due to Sister Rona.
Rona.
We'll be dancing in fly socks and tees next year probably, but the ultimate vibe curator, I kind of consider him Jacksonville's cultural historian.
It's true.
And just like an overall renaissance man, right?
It's true.
He's pretty dope.
It's true.
And he recently graduated from college.
Yep.
So congratulations to all our graduating class of 2020. Mm-hmm. Super, super dope. So yeah, to book his services, MrAlPete.com, and make sure you follow him on social media at MrAlPete. Javon, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like, this has been, we've been trying to do this for so long.
I know. I hope we didn't get so far off tangent, because we would just start having conversations like we're friends on the phone, and you know.
But we are friends in real life.
I know.
Cue the Carter's Friends.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. You know, that was our theme song in Greece.
we lived our best life in the people country.
We really did. Is that a
country? Greece? Yeah, Greece is a country.
Yeah.
Is Greece a country? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Don't tell them about it.
I always have a great time with you. I think it's such a beautiful thing when a professional relationship can turn into a personal relationship. And it's, I believe our relationship is very intentional. Mm-hmm. It's very much genuine. We can go for weeks or months without talking to each other because of life, and then just pick up like it's nothing. I remember Jeezy had came to Pure, and I was like, friend, I already got my ticket, but I don't want to go by myself. Listen, we was writing them people club and VIP, just chilling. And I enjoy that we can sit and have intellectual conversations, and we can talk about spirituality and our growth, both personally and professionally, but we can also just have a great time. And I appreciate you for always being here for me, and just being overall dope. I can go like really, really deep and stuff, but sometimes it just is what it is. Like,
I appreciate that.
You are an amazing person.
Thank you.
And the world needs your light. And so I'm so thankful and grateful that you find it not robbery to shine so bright.
Don't make me cry.
Listen, we not crying.
I'm a diva, dude. Do not make me vulnerable.
It's okay. We need that.
Okay.
It's okay, friend. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I really do not take this lightly. I've watched The Diva's Den, and I've been so excited from its inception until now. And it's just amazing to be here in this moment. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, friend. I'm going to leave us on a quote. As always, I've died 1,000 deaths each time, reinventing myself brighter, stronger, and purer than before. From the midst of destruction, I became the creator of myself. From the midst of darkness, I became the source of my own light. If you want to be a guest on the Diva's Den, or if you have any topics, make sure you hit me up at divasdenwithtavia@gmail.com. And you follow me at Diva's Den with Tavia. Just a quick little update. Fabulous Faces is not taking clients right now due to the Rona. Look, I don't know if I really trust y'all like that, you know? So I'm just gonna chill for a minute, and it's okay.
But you do know that this time is not necessarily about social distancing, it's physical distancing. Have you heard that?
No.
Physical distance is different than social distance. We can still stay connected.
Oh, definitely. You know, they should... They should change that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm still physically distancing from the makeup for right now. But definitely follow me at Fabulous Faces and fabulousfacesmakeup.com to stay up to date as to when I will resume services. If I resume services, we don't know. I may be reinventing myself in the song. No. You know what I'm saying? We don't know.
Yeah, what you gonna do with all this makeup all of these color tones that's not even you? Whole kit on standby.
I might do some giveaways, but you know what? Stay ready.
Stay ready.
So even if I have to pivot into something else, and
yeah,
Beyonce call me and like, girl, I need to smoke your eye, I'm going to be right there with my kid waiting at the door. Where you need me to go? Let me see my
what color smoke eyes you wish she get? What would you give Beyonce?
I think it just depends on her mood, but lately she's very minimalistic. Mm-hmm. You know, all she really needs is her brow brushed up, and she's very minimalistic. A lip, you know. If you notice, she doesn't, you can still see her freckles poking through. She's, you know, but I'll be right there waiting. sis, what you need? I ain't did makeup in like, I don't know when, but sis, what you need?
What you need?
What you need, sis? But thank you so much for tuning in to the Diva's Den with Tavia. And as always, stay fabulous. Diva, 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 hey, hey.